It's certainly with a mixture of emotions that I stand before you this morning. And I would simply say this, that you can't spend a week of time with people without it having its effect on you. I don't know if you think that maybe the evangelist comes to minister to you. And while that is true, it is also very true that the congregation ministers to the evangelist. And you certainly have done that in many, many ways this week. Just the personal contacts, words of encouragement, assurance of your prayers, and of course the many gifts, hospitality. And last evening we were there at Maynard's and someone brought a notebook that you put together for us, and I just want you to know, really appreciated that, and I already looked through it last evening and was encouraged and blessed, and it will be a way that we will be reminded of the time here and also of your journey and walk with the Lord. And may God help us to be faithful in praying for you. Different ones of you have kind of worked your way into my heart, and it's my desire to be faithful in praying for you. God has been good to us this week. He's ministered to my heart. He has spoken to all of us, I believe, in ways that should challenge us to be faithful in our walk with the Lord. I came in and sat down this morning, and my mind kind of went back to a hot summer day on the farm when you're putting up hay and you're tired and weary, and we would come into the milk house, and there were the old milk coolers, and we boys knew that down in those milk coolers were sodas. That was the treat for putting up hay. And that's kind of what happened to me this morning as I came in here, physically a bit weary. But I just want to say, as we began to sing this morning, and as Brother Noah got up and shared just from the Word of God so clearly on the provision of salvation, my heart was just thrilled and filled. And I felt like, yeah, it's just like drinking a glass of fresh cold water or soda that is such a refreshing thing on a hot day. And, you know, I've often said that church is a lot what we make it. If you come to church and you don't really expect to get a whole lot out of it, or if you come to church and you're not ready to contribute or have put thought and prayer and effort into it, I sometimes think maybe the reason church is boring to us or that there's no life there is that we really haven't prepared our hearts before the Lord. And I would like to suggest that when we do that, we are never disappointed. Sometimes children say, well, Dad, you know, the preacher was boring. And I think about that because I think that a lot of that has to do with us. There is a discipline in listening that all of us, I think, do well to pay attention to and work on in our response to the Lord. So it's a bit hard for us to leave today. And I just want you to know that we have deeply appreciated the fellowship, the encouragement. And as you think about us, pray for us, and we want to do the same for you. For a text for the message this morning, I'd like you to turn to the book of John, chapter 21. And our text for this message comes from a dialogue that Jesus had with His disciple, Peter. Verse 22, John chapter 21. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. The title of the message this morning, What Is That to Thee? Follow Thou Me. Now I would suggest this morning that not all of our questions get answered. Not all of our issues cease or get resolved. Not all of our desires are fulfilled in this life. And certainly we know that not all of our struggles go away. But the challenge still rings out, brethren and sisters, this morning, in the words of our Savior, which I hope will be riveted on your heart. And that is this, what is that to thee? You follow me. I'd like to read this passage. I know it's a familiar passage, but I'd just like to start at verse 1. And you can kind of, as you listen or as you follow along, you can kind of get a sense of what was happening in the life of the disciples at this point. I would say it's what often happens to us in the journey of life. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, the two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also will go with thee. So as they went forth, they entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he saith unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter knew or heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. It's not the first time Simon cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring ye of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Then notice verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Let's pray. Father, I pray that from the words of Scripture this morning, our hearts would be challenged with what Jesus told Peter. What is that to thee? You follow me. Lord, give us courage and give us the determination and the commitment to do just that, regardless of the circumstances of our lives. Lord, bless this message to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. How do I follow Jesus? When do I follow Jesus? In what circumstances should I follow Jesus? I would like to give to you this morning at least four circumstances in which the only good answer or the only good action or the only good commitment is to simply follow the Lord Jesus. The first circumstance that I would suggest this morning in which to follow Jesus is the only good option is when your dreams have been dashed. I often think of young people. I have a lot of young people sitting here this morning. And I think about the fact that all of us as young people have dreams and goals and visions for what life will bring to us. And there's a lot of anticipation. But as I stand here this morning, I am very much aware that for some of you young people, God will take you places and through circumstances which you never would have chosen to go had you been able to choose. What do you do when your dreams have been dashed? You have the disciples here and Peter utters three simple words. He says, I go fishing. I believe that though those are simple words, there was a lot of depth of feeling in those words for Peter. Did you ever feel like quitting? Did you ever feel like walking away? Did you ever feel like throwing in the towel? Did you ever feel like going for plan B? Think of the disciples. Dashed dreams and broken plans. And the question is, what now? How do I pick up life? How do I cope? How do I go? Where do I go? Of course, Peter, the spokesman, says, I go fishing. We could ask the question, what else was there to do? Reminded of a young couple from our community who, after a few years of marriage, I became aware that they were not able to have children. So I went to the young man and his wife and I expressed my condolences and my support for them. Sometime later, we had a carry-in meal at our church and this wife was speaking to me. And as she was talking, she was sharing with me all the benefits of not having children. And all of a sudden, in the middle of her conversation, she just burst into tears. I asked the question, what do you do when your dreams have been dashed? No doubt there are people sitting here today that some of the dreams that you've had in life have been dashed. For the disciples, no doubt there were feelings of disappointment that day, feelings of being left down. There were thoughts of what could have been. There were thoughts of what should have been. And I have this picture that night out on the boat, it was a pretty quiet bunch of men as they commenced to fishing. It was probably a dark night in more ways than one as they reflected. And I have a feeling that in their minds, there was a lot of this word, if only, if only, if only. And each of you here sitting here today can put in the content of the if-onlys. Things that you wish would have worked out. Things that you wish would be different. So I would ask the question, what do you do when your dreams have been dashed? Can you, in that moment, hear the words of Jesus saying to you, what is that to you? You follow me. Secondly, this morning, what do you do when the fish don't bite? I find this interesting. Fishing was not going well for the disciples. In fact, it says they caught nothing. If I were to ask you this morning, honestly, how has fishing been going in your life this morning? Are you doing pretty well? Have you any meat? Do you have anything to show for your efforts? And I would say to us that actually that was a bit of the kind of experience that the disciples had faced and were facing at this point. A description of life for them. What do you do when Christianity becomes a real challenge and a real test of your faith? When you have to face life and its struggles alone? When the old tricks don't work anymore? When the trite answers don't cut it? When the night gets long and things are not going well? I think of young fellow who lost his father and had cancer, and one night I received a call from his mom and she said, Dave, can you come over? I still remember this. I went over. The one son was sitting in one chair with tears running down his face. The other son was in another chair and the mom was sitting by herself. I went up to the son with cancer and with tears in his eyes, he looked up to me and he said, Brother Dave, is Satan winning? How do you answer that question? When one thing after another goes wrong in a person's life. I see the disciples here pretty down, pretty discouraged. Then the question comes, do you have any meat? What are you supposed to say? You know, sometimes with our best intentions and our best foot forward, it just seems to. But I want you to know something this morning. The morning will come. You can count on it. And another truth, when the morning comes, it says, Jesus stood on the shore. That gives me goosebumps this morning. Ay, ay, ay. I think of the verse, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And for every one of you here, I want to encourage your hearts to tell you something about Jesus. He is completely faithful. No matter what your circumstance, He will always stand on your shore. So when the night gets long and things aren't going well, we have this assurance that Jesus will stand on your shore. But the interesting thing about this is, what's Jesus' question? I like this because I'm going to say something that none of us are really going to be effective in the kingdom of God and in His program unless we come to the place of complete brokenness before Him. See, I'll tell you what, young people, what happens. We have our goals for life. We have our ambitions. We have our dreams. We have our gifts. We have our abilities. And we can kind of map out how life should go for us. But guess what? God has another purpose for you. God has the purpose of preparing each of you for eternity. And for me, preparing us for eternity. And God doesn't stop with anything to get that done in our lives. And so the question comes, children, do you have any meat? How do you answer that question? Do you say, well, I'm really not doing very well. I've been struggling a lot with anger lately. I've been facing a lot of defeat in my life. If I'm honest, I'm really pretty discouraged right now with life. I've been facing some tough temptations. I'm not sure I'm going to make it. Relationships have been tough. One thing you see about the disciples is their honesty. Now, you got to remember, these guys are fishermen. Do you realize how embarrassing, how humiliating, how completely difficult it would be to say, we haven't caught anything? These are fishermen. These are skilled fishermen. You know, so often in our journey of faith, we're like the little child who is determined to tie his shoes, and he says this, I can do it myself. You know, we've been taught to be tough. We've been taught to do things ourselves. But you know what? Many times in doing things ourselves, we don't make out too good if we're honest. These disciples were just honest. They said, we haven't caught a thing. And then you have this command. Cast your net on the other side and ye shall find. And I could just, you gotta be kidding. Come on. Whoever this guy is, he certainly doesn't know anything about fishing. You say, thanks for your help when it's no help at all. You know, I think as Christians, a promise comes to us, search for me with all your heart and ye shall find me. But I would suggest to us today that finding him may come in a different way and through different circumstances than what I would want or anticipate. You see, the disciples found themselves at such a place. Through unplanned events and detours, there had been a cross, there had been a grave, there had been a separation, there had been a distance. And yet in these situations, perhaps simple obedience, and I like this, is perhaps the only answer, or perhaps the best answer. What do you have to lose? And so, the scripture tells us, they cast their net on the other side. And then, all of a sudden, comes this revelation. Who is this? Who is this fellow anyway? And John says, that's got to be Jesus. Now, this just blesses me about Peter. Man, I'll tell you, this just challenges my heart this morning. You know what? Peter's response here just really... Peter was done fishing when he knew that that's the Lord. I just see this. He's out of here. I'm going to tell you something. You see something about Peter's heart in just that action. Fishing was simply a diversion, a way of dealing with his grief. And again, Peter was the first one out of the boat. He had heard the call, and he would follow. What would you have done? Would you have stayed with the boat? Stayed with the fish? Sometime later, this young man was singing in front of our church with the rest of the young people. So I watched the expression on his face and his commitment to the Lord. I went up to him after the service And I said to this young man, and I called him by name, and I said, I want you to know something tonight. Satan is not winning. And I can just simply say in this young man's life, despite all the tragedies that this family has gone through, his faith is strong. He's not accusing God. He's not turned against God, but he's determined to be faithful to him. Satan is not winning. When the fish don't bite, keep following. Stay the course. Cast the net one more time and run to Jesus. And as I was thinking about this, I got this vision of heaven's shore. I see a day when individuals who have gone through every kind of circumstance finally reach heaven's shore. Can you just imagine with me what a day that's going to be? And I see individuals running. All the disappointments and the broken dreams and the circumstances of life, which were hard to understand, being swallowed up in reaching their master. What a day. And, you know, it'll be all right then. Everything will be all right. You know, Edith Schaefer paints a picture of heaven that I just have really appreciated. She says, heaven will be like a museum. You go into a museum, you see these sometimes rows and rows articles, things from the past or whatever. She says, in heaven, for every circumstance, for every situation that Satan would come to God and he would say to God, God, if you let me do this to this person, he'll curse you to your face. You let me do this, they won't love you anymore. God will have people in heaven who have gone through every kind of conceivable circumstance who have not cursed him, but who have retained their integrity and who have kept their faith. And the blessing of that is that Satan will not get one victory. Now that doesn't mean that people won't curse God or that not, it doesn't mean that everyone's going to heaven, but it does mean that for every kind of circumstance in this life that Satan can throw at a person to destroy their faith, we have the assurance today that God's provision and his resources and his grace is strong enough to give the person the strength to overcome. It just comes to me now. I remember the day that Robert and Joseph were killed, my two brothers. I was in Canada along with my wife. That morning I had devotions at the high school of boys. And that morning I read from Job chapter 23. And one thing I told the students that morning was, I said, you can count on it that God will never bring anything into our life, but that his grace won't give us the strength to go through it. 6 o'clock that night, I received the news, or that evening I received the news of my two brothers' death. At that point, I didn't even think about what I had said that morning. But I'm here to testify to you this morning that that is true. God's grace enables us to go through tremendous difficulties and retain our faith and our confidence and be able to say, when we're all said and done, God is good. He is a good God. In the third place this morning, what do you do? Gets harder. Let me assure you. What do you do when your commitment is questioned? We would have some real problems with Jesus on this one. Lovest thou me? I call it a tough relational encounter, and we would say, Jesus, you could at least be respectful enough to do this in private. But in front of all the disciples, Jesus asked this question, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you really love me? Three times. And we could go into maybe the reasons for that, but that's not the point here. The point is that here you have a tough relational encounter in front of all the disciples. And as Christians, there are times, many times, when we rub shoulders with each other the wrong way. There are assumptions made. There are misunderstandings, and there's criticisms that cut deep. There's accusations, and there's conflict. And a person's commitment is questioned often within the context of the brotherhood. There are tough questions, and there can even be betrayal. What do you do when you are misunderstood? What do you do when you've been misjudged? What do you do when your motivations have been completely misunderstood? What do you do when you can't do anything to fix it? When you can't even clarify the burden of your heart? I'll tell you, in times like that, it's very easy to come to this decision. I don't have to put up with this. I remember a minister's meeting a number of months ago where I felt like I was attempting to share my heart, and it seemed like it just got squashed. I remember one day, I made up my mind. I said, that's it. I didn't tell the ministers that, but I told myself, you're not going to hear from me again. I went to a number of ministers' meetings where I sat there in silence, taking the minutes. They say, Brother Dave, what do you think about this? No answer. I want to tell you something, people. One of the toughest things in church life is when your motivations, your desires, and I don't understand this. A person tries to do their best to serve the Lord, and they get cut down. You think that's easy? Do we wonder why people pack up their bags? What do you do when your commitment has been questioned? Peter, do you love me? Jesus does not deviate. It's kind of rough. He just persists. I wonder what all was going through Peter's mind. Some of life's most painful encounters come to us through the hard questions of life, the trying of one's faith, the chastisement of the Lord has a way of stripping you from all the easy answers. Peter said, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. And I think he was saying in that, I really want to love you more. Jesus says, feed my sheep. Now, there's an interesting thing here that I just find so fascinating. In the midst of tough relational encounters, in the midst of your commitment being questioned, is there anything you can do? Well, as I look at this passage, yes, you can continue to feed sheep, to be faithful in the place that God has called you and with what He has committed to your care. So keep feeding, keep caring, keep loving until the end. Don't give your critics reasons to doubt your integrity. Last of all this morning, what do you do when your pathway leads to a cross? Jesus said, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And I could hear Peter saying, Lord, did you ever think to ask me whether this is something I want or not? Did you ever think to consider what my desires and my goals may be? And yet Jesus said, Peter, this is what's going to happen to you. And furthermore, what about John? I don't see you giving him a hard time. I don't see you saying anything about what he's going to have to face in life. You ever felt life's just not fair? I'm always going to be the underdog. And Jesus says a remarkable thing. He said, Peter, if I will that John tarries till I come. Now, sometimes life just does not make sense. Why would John be privileged to live to a ripe old age and Peter would have to be crucified upside down against his will? I'm telling us, for some of us, maybe for many of us, probably for all of us if we understood it, the path that Jesus has for us leads to a cross. And we just as well get used to it. Some of the deep yearnings of my heart along the way of my journey, the struggles with depression, the times that I didn't know whether I would stay sane or not, where I thought I might end up in a mental institution, crying out to God and saying, Lord, if you could just assure me that you're here, I think I could make it. But I need you. I know what it's like to sit in the woods for hours, crying and praying to a God that you just want desperately to come into your experience. I would like to say, God is so faithful. I wouldn't be standing here this morning. I can tell you that right now. I would not be standing here except for the mercy and grace of God and the tremendous encouragement of my wife, that Satan was doing his best to destroy my life and ministry. What do you do when your way leads to a cross? What do you do with the crosses of life? The inequities, the trials, and the pains. Can I say, even though like Peter I may not understand, I will still follow you? Do I need to figure it all out? Do I have to have an explanation that satisfies? Or will I choose to trust my crosses to the one, this just blesses me when I think about it. Can I trust my crosses to the one who knows not only about the cross, but he knows about the distance, he knows about the separation, and he knows the loneliness of the cross? And I would like to say today that yes, you can trust your cross to the one who has been through it all. And remind us that he's been through it all, yes, for you, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. You follow his example, and you one day will also sit down on the right hand of the throne of God. So in conclusion today, when the dreams come, when the dreams go, when the fish don't bite, things don't work out, when your commitment is questioned, when your pathway leads to a cross, are you able to hear these words from the Master? What is that to thee? I just like that. Another way of saying that is, so what? What is that to thee? And the question is, what will you do? Jesus says, follow me. And that's his call to our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture this morning. We thank you for Peter's example and the desire we see manifested in his heart through this account. Lord, I pray that you would give to us courage today, wherever we find ourselves, that we would not miss the opportunity to follow you regardless of what it costs us, recognizing that it does mean suffering. It does mean sometimes that our dreams are dashed. It does mean that circumstances aren't always favorable to following you. And sometimes even our faith and our commitment is questioned by others. Lord, in the midst of all of that, can we hear your voice again today, reassuring us, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. We thank you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I feel like I do want to give an invitation this morning. I want us to sing that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. And if God has spoken to your heart this morning and you would like to simply let him know and let the congregation know here, your choice is to follow Jesus regardless of what it costs you. Maybe you're here and you've never made that commitment to follow Jesus. This morning would be a good time for you to decide to follow Jesus. Maybe some of us are here and we have gotten weary and maybe have been tempted to kind of just move to the sidelines in our commitment. Maybe God is speaking to your heart this morning that he's calling you, despite what happens, I will follow him. I will put my trust and confidence in him. You just mind the Lord. And again, I would just encourage you to come forward. And if there are those who want to be supportive of that, I would welcome you to do that. Let's sing together.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one joins me, joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Have thine own way.
like to respond to God's call on your heart and life this morning. Maybe you're sitting there fighting a battle. I just want you to know that Christ is he's a good master. He is a faithful shepherd and a loving friend. If God is speaking to your heart, I just want to invite you to come forward. You know, Satan never quits. Doesn't matter how young or how old you are, he will try to get into your heart and into your life and keep you from being faithful to the Lord. My challenge to all of us today is let's not let him do it, but let's commit ourselves to following the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anyone else yet while we tarry? I'd like to invite us to stand together for prayer. And after the prayer, let's again sing that song as a testimony of all of us, of our commitment to follow Jesus, and then you can be dismissed. Let's pray. Father, this morning again, we just recognize you as the Lord of the universe. You are the builder of the church. You have promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But we have to confess that there are times in our flesh that we wander and we get weary. And Father, we see things that trouble us and that are hard to deal with. Oh God, would you somehow give us the ability to see beyond the cross. And Lord, to be able to see the joy and the crown one day awaiting those who are faithful. Lord, should there be anyone here this morning that's contemplating giving up or throwing in the towel, oh God, give them that extra courage today to just come to you and to seek you. You are such a faithful God and such a loving God, and we know that you care very deeply about the things that we go through, even though sometimes it seems you are silent or that you are distant. I pray for those who have responded this morning that you would fill their hearts with deep peace and joy and give them the strength and the courage to be faithful. Lord, bless all of us as we leave this place, that your presence would stay with us. Lord, that you would give us strength for the commitments that we've made this week. Lord, I pray that you would keep us in your hand and keep us faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Closing, let's sing that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. We'll sing all three verses. I have decided
to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Before me, the world behind me.